You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, it's one thing just to grab a message and say, I'm going to preach that, or it's another thing to have a message grab you.
Amen.
And say, preach this. I'd a whole lot rather be grabbed by a message than go grab a message. I'd a whole lot rather have a message say, you better go preach this, than have me say, I'm going to preach that message.
There you go.
So I really do try. That is my goal, and that's the way, you know, I've learned over the years, is just whatever's burning. In fact, if it's not burning, then I just keep looking and praying and studying until something does hit. You know, something has some fire on it.
Yes.
You know, under the old covenant, when they brought an offering, you know, it's interesting in Leviticus, many places it talks about offerings that they burnt before the Lord. It says, bring no offering without fire. No offering without fire. I don't know, it came alive to me one time I was reading that, and I was thinking, you know, that's the way we ought to come to God. We should never come to God without fire.
Yeah.
That's right.
We don't just go through the motions. We don't just offer something to Him through just religious duty. We ought to bring an offering with some fire.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
We should never come and offer without fire, mm-hmm. without passion, without heart. You know, that our lips are, you know, we praise Him with our lips, but our heart's far from Him. That's what He's talking about. And so even in the Old Covenant, when you see that symbolism there with fire, that offering should be made with fire.
Yeah.
You know, and the continual fire shall be there. And he talks a lot about that. Well, that's what we ought to serve God, with passion and with fire. And I understand some days we're going to be up, some days we're going to be down, but we ought to shoot for what's, you know, shoot for passion, shoot for fire.
Yeah.
Passion gets things done.
That's right.
It's not talent. It's passion. It's consistent, staying with the stuff, passionately committed, dedication, all those kinds of things. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. Familiar passage scripture, you'll know this right off the bat, Judges chapter 6. I want to talk to you about the way God sees you, the strength that you and I have all the time, whether you realize it or whether you don't realize it. You know, there's a great Catholic saint, her name was Teresa of Avila. I think I pronounced that right, Avila. You know, I don't have the privilege of a formal education, although I read a lot. I know a lot of words. I never hear a lot of those words pronounced, so I mispronounce a lot of words. But anyway, she was a contemporary of St. John of the Cross. You might remember A Dark Night of a Soul. It was a classic writing that he wrote way back. You're talking about, you know, a couple hundred years ago or more. The Dark Night of the Soul is what he wrote, and Teresa of Avila wrote interior castles. They were Catholic saints. But she said something I thought was profound in just some of her writings I read years ago. I thought about it when I was standing here. That we don't need to think that we're empty on the inside. There's more on the inside than there is on the outside. We're not empty. You know, there's something inside of us. There's more to us than what we see. There's more. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world,
Amen.
As it were. St. Augustine said this, and he was way back in the 5th century. You know, he said, we'll go around the world, basically, I'm paraphrasing greatly here, or we'll cross the mountains to see the ocean and see the rivers and stand in wonder and awe at the seas and the rivers and landscapes, and we pass by ourselves every day and never wonder.
That's right.
At the greatest creation of all, it's us. You know, I'm not trying to get us to be arrogant or have false pride, but we've got to start seeing ourselves the way God sees us.
Right.
We're more important in this world. We're more important than this universe.
Yeah.
We're more important, and we're going to definitely last longer than just one life here on this earth. We're going to live forever.
That's right.
This is a fleeting thing. We're the children of the living God.
Yes.
And we're here to make a difference. And we live far below our privileges and resources and our responsibilities. I believe that fully. I believe we have much more authority, and we mean much more than we think we do. We can do much more than we think we can do, and we give up way too quick, and we settle for way too less, way less than what God has for us. And it has to do with the way we see ourselves. I don't think there's any question there. Gideon is a classic case of this. And Gideon and Judges, the book of Judges, the 6th chapter, we have this case. You know, last week we talked about Jabez, who just decided he wasn't going to settle for what he was called, what the world called him, what his own mama called him. Oh, come on now. I mean, when your old mama gives up on you, you know the old saying, he's got a face that only a mama can love. Well, in this case, mama didn't love Jabez that much, evidently. Called him Jabez, which means he will cause pain. That's what it means.
Right.
And he said, God, I don't want to cause pain. I don't want to cause pain. I want you to bless me. He didn't settle for status quo. He didn't settle for what everybody said. He didn't settle for what he looked like and what his name was and what the world said. And it comes a point where you and I have to say enough's enough.
Amen.
Just not going to settle for that. Now, I know we hear a lot about submitting. Well, we ought to submit to the will of God. We don't submit to the world, and we don't submit to circumstances, and we don't submit to failure. What we submit to is the will of God and the promises of God.
That's right.
And what God wants for our lives.
Yes.
But what God wants for our lives doesn't just happen without us being involved. It doesn't happen without us believing and praying and working toward that goal.
That's exactly right.
You know, the difference, I tell you the difference between the haves and the have-nots. The difference between the have and the have-not are the doers and the doer-nots. He that does and he that does not. That's the difference between the have and the have-not. If we'll start doing the word, we can change the outcome, obviously.
Yes.
And we preach, teach this all the time. But too many times I think we settle in. We settle in. We're designed for success. We're programmed to fail. The world programs us to give in, give up. It just happens. It's just the world. It's the way it is. Nothing you can do about it. No, there is something we can do about it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We can rise above it. So, book of Judges. Judges is just filled with instance after instance, tribe after tribe, who rejected God, get in bondage. They cry out to God. God would raise up a leader, and he would deliver them. These deliverers were called judges. The word judges means deliverers, saviors is what they were. And this is the story of Gideon. But I think it's interesting how Gideon started out. You know, I think we often think of heroes as people who just never had a doubt, never had a fear, you know, or just all their lives they just believed in themselves and believed they could do it. No, it didn't happen that way in most cases. Didn't happen with Moses that way. Didn't happen with Abraham that way. Didn't happen with Jabez that way. Are you with me? And you start going through people in the Bible that God used. I mean, Jeremiah, come on. Contrary to the old song, he wasn't a bullfrog. Jeremiah, the prophet. When God called him, he tried to weasel out of it. He said, I can't speak. I'm a child. And God had to straighten him up. That's in the first chapter of Jeremiah. He said, don't you say I am a child. You will go wherever I tell you to go, and you'll say whatever I tell you to say. Moses said, well, Lord, I can't go. I stutter. Like God didn't know that, you know. We're going to tell God it's something he didn't know. Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. When he said, you know, I'm going to bless you through a child, through you and Sarah. He tried to crawfish and try to find some other way. It's all through the Scripture. I don't know why we think we're so unique and so different. The heroes of the Bible weren't people that weren't afraid. You know, they weren't people that weren't intimidated. They weren't people that were felt inferior. They were people just like you and I. They had to overcome those things. John Wayne said, courage is being afraid and saddling up anyway. Amen. So here's Gideon. Judges 6, verse 11 says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, not Oprah Winfrey, but Ophrah, the city, that pertaineth unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress. I think that's interesting. To hide it from the Midianites. Now see, he's working, but he's hiding because there are people out there that will steal it from him. He doesn't think he can overcome them or resist them. He doesn't think he can do anything about it, so he has to do it in secret and he has to hide it. So he's hiding. He's in the wine press. If you can imagine, you know, if there's a wine press walled like this and he's in there threshing his wheat where nobody can see him, so he can possibly get away with this, you know. And the 12th verse, and in this setting, okay, y'all get this, in this setting where he is hiding, obviously in some fear, obviously somewhat intimidated, somewhat negative. It says hiding. Is that what it says in your Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In that setting, 12th verse, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor.
Yeah. Amen.
So, you know, his view of himself and God's view of himself, of him, two different views. Wouldn't you say so?
Yes.
Sometimes, I'm going somewhere with this. Sometimes we're that way. Your view of yourself and God's view of you is sometimes two different views.
Right.
Now, is there any question as to who's right? I mean, really. God's right, we're wrong. And when you think you can't do something, and God says you can do something, who do you think's right? Okay. Well, somebody's going to have to change here. And He is the Lord God, He changes not.
Amen.
So that pretty well leaves it up to us. We're going to have to change, aren't we?
Right.
We're going to have to change our view of ourselves. We're going to have to change what we say about ourselves. We're going to have to change what we see, how we see ourselves, and how we see our future. And line it up with what God says. Because see, what you have is an opinion of yourself. God doesn't have opinions.
That's true.
When God says you're a mighty man of valor, that's a fact. You just live in a lie.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? I mean, because this is not God's opinion. This is God doesn't have opinions. The commandments were commandments, not suggestions, ideals. You know, so He's telling him the truth.
Yes.
God doesn't lie. Angels don't lie. So when that angel showed up and said that, that was the truth. It wasn't a truth that Gideon had gotten a hold of. It wasn't a truth he was living. It sure wasn't a truth that he was experiencing the benefits of. Amen? Because he wasn't seeing himself that way. He wasn't saying that about himself. In fact, he begins to argue with God, kind of like we do. 13th verse, and Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now that's a power-packed verse when you think about it. Because he had a right concept of God. He was correct. There's no question about it. If God was with them, they'd be winning. He was correct. He had the wrong concept of himself, but he had the right concept of God. Now, the problem there is, you can have the right concept of God, but you're still not going to walk in victory. You still don't win just by having the right concept of God, just the right idea of God. It's a start. It's a good start. It's the first start. You've got to get it right. What you think about God, what you say about God. But see, you've got to take it another step and get the right concept of who you are and start saying the right thing about yourself. We can talk about God all day long, but as long as we think we can't do it, as long as we think it's for someone else, not us, if it's going to happen anywhere, it's going to have to be somewhere else. If it's going to happen to anybody, it's going to have to be somebody else. Hello. And if it's going to take any kind of ability or talent, it's going to take somebody that's got more ability and talent than I got. It's way off somewhere. It's distant. It's difficult. Are you with me? And different. Someone different than I, somewhere distant from here. And somebody more ability than I have, more difficult than me. See, we do that. We play those games. And we talk about, we think about ourselves. We start bringing up how we were raised and start blaming mom and daddy. We start blaming our race. Or we start blaming our lack of this, education, lack of that, you know, personality, charisma, or whatever the case may be. But God just doesn't see that way at all. We are far more than we think we are. We can do far more than we think we can do. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Yes.
You know, T.L. Osborne tells a story, and it's a fascinating story. When he first started out, T.L. Osborne has preached probably to more people face-to-face in crusades than anybody except Billy Graham, I guess. And T.L. Osborne has had some miracle crusades around the world. Millions of people have gotten saved and healed and set free. But when he first started as a young man in the crusades, he went to India. And he went over there and he had a couple of crusades and he just fell flat on his face. Just didn't do any good at all. And came home just crying out to God, couldn't understand why. He didn't have any results. Nothing happened. Nobody was saved. Basically some, but very few, he thought. And not too many people, you know, were touched. And the meetings weren't that large. And he had this great vision, this great dream, and a great calling, and this fire to do this. And he just couldn't understand. He said, He said, I had read through the scripture. I had read through the gospels. I'd read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I had seen Jesus rise up out of the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, healing the sick, raising the dead, and casting out devils. And he said, I went there with that vision and that dream, but it didn't happen until I went back and cried out to God, and I began to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I saw T.L. Osborne come up off the pages. This is not sacrilegious, stay with me, because he couldn't have done it without the Lord, and it was because of Jesus that he went back and made a difference, and his crusades were never the same since. But it's one thing to see Jesus come out of the pages of the Bible. It's another thing to see yourself come up out of there, born again, washed in the blood, empowered by the Spirit with the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And the call of God on your life. It's one thing to see God in His glory and who He is. It's another thing to see what God has done for you and the work of God in you. Are you out there? And I realize you're treading on thin ice. You've got to be cautious not to sound too arrogant or not to replace God. We can never replace God. We'll never be God. But we are who God said we are.
Yeah.
And we are who God has made us. And we are here to make a difference. And the problem was not that God was not with them. The problem was nobody was stepping out on God being with them. There were no Gideons. There were no men that were fighting the enemy. God was amongst them, but there were no miracles, not because God wasn't there. There were no miracles because no one was doing anything with God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo! Amen. In many cases, that's our problem. Amen? Oh, He's there. He said He never leaves for a second. But we hadn't stood up. We hadn't risen up. We're still hiding.
Yeah.
Hiding.
Yeah.
That East Texas just comes out strong, doesn't it?
Amen.
Still hiding. It says, 13 verse, and Gideon, is somebody knocking on that door?
No.
It must be air. Yeah, they're going outside is what it is. Yeah, yeah, you'll have to edit that out, Chris, knocking on that door, air, and they'll think I'm hearing voices.
Praise God.
13 verse, and Gideon said unto him after he said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. You mighty man of valor. Wow. You know, when God says things like, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens in you, and that you're more than conquerors through Him that loved you, and greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world, and you've got the victory through Christ Jesus, and He always calls you to triumph in Christ. Yeah. When He says things like that, I wonder, do we really see ourselves that way?
No.
Most cases, probably not. But we can and we should. We need to change our view. Go in this
Amen.
Might. This might, this might, this might. What might was he talking about? Well, I'm going way ahead of myself, 13th verse. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. And both thou shalt save Israel, and thou shalt save Israel from the land of the Midianites, have not I sent thee? Everybody say this might. I think the might he's talking about, what might, what's he talking about? Go in this strength. Go in this might. What in the world is he referring to? All Gideon said was, if the Lord's with us, we're going to win this deal. If the Lord's with us, we had miracles. We'd have victories. If the Lord's with us, well, see, that revelation was the strength and the might that he was supposed to go in.
Amen.
I don't know if we need to wedge that door or what, but it's like water torture for me. It's going tap, tap, tap. I hear that tap, tap, tap in the back of my head. Go in what might? How are you going to go and win? How are you going to go and have victory? Well, first, you got to know who God is. Then secondly, you got to step out on that and know who you are. I am a child of the living God. Was it not closed?
No.
Ah, okay, good. All right. So the way you overcome is through the revelation of who you are. The way you overcome is the revelation of what God does in you, through you, being for you. The way you overcome is not just getting a revelation of who God is, but it's getting a revelation of who you are and standing up and walking in it.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
One thing to say something, but it's another thing to go out there and do it. You know, like I said the other day, I think it was it. That said, you know, you'll get, if you, even if you're on the right road, you're going to get run over if you're sitting in the middle of it. You need to be moving.
Yes.
You need to be moving forward with a vision, moving forward with your faith, moving forward with what you're believing, and go in the might of God being for you. And since God is for you, no one can be against you. And there will be miracles, hallelujah, and there will be victories because God is for you. And this might is what we go in. This revelation of God and this revelation of who we are in God. So he says, go in this might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Now listen to this, 15th verse. You think Gideon goes, okay, great, that's wonderful, here I go. I'm off. Man, we're gone. We're going to win this deal. God told me what he said, and I believe it, and that's it. Well, sometimes it takes a little while for us to get it. How many of you have heard something over and over before you got it?
Yeah.
Man. And then when you talk about actually acting on it and using it in your life, applying it to your situation.
Wow.
I mean, when it comes to like marriage or finances or your body, all of a sudden it's not a doctrine that we're all amening at. It's not some abstract concept that we all agree to. It's a very concrete reality here. Is this true or not? Do I really believe this?
Amen.
Amen. It's got to get that way, though. It's got to become concrete. We can preach all day long here, and I say this all the time, too, that we can preach all day long, and we can amen, and we can take notes, and we should study, and we should, and talk about how good God is, and all these miracles and signs and wonders, and hear these testimonies, but you need to understand, you need to realize, there's going to come a day you're going to need this.
Mm-hmm.
It comes to everyone.
Right.
Where you're going to have to apply these truths, these principles. Life's just that way. Life's not fair because what's going on in life's not God. Most of what happens is a result of sin and the fallen, broken world that we live in and other people's wills and all kinds of things. Sometimes we're the problem. But I'll tell you, the Word will work for you. That's why you need to keep hearing it. That's why you need to keep saying it. That's why you need to keep making those confessions. Start seeing yourself in this mirror, the mirror of God's Word, not the mirror that you look at in the bathroom every morning, but the mirror of God's Word. Start seeing who you are. And quit living a lie and start living the truth. Quit living out of that old man who is dead and start living in that new man who's created after God in true righteousness and holiness. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Hallelujah. You are an overcomer. You are a child of the living God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You have power with God. You have an audience with God. You're His child and He is your Father. And He is listening intently, waiting for you to call. He says, call unto me and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek, you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And everyone that seeketh, findeth. And everyone that knocketh, the door will be opened unto them.
Praise God.
Woo!
Yes.
We've got to see ourselves that way. We're not limited to this natural world. We're not limited to this economy. We're not limited to the statistics of the world concerning marriage and finances and sickness and disease, all those things. No, we have recourse to the miracles of God. We have recourse to the power of God. We are the children of the living God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But now listen to Gideon. He didn't just jump on a bandwagon, okay? Go in this might, 14th verse. And thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites, and have not I sent you? And he said to him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Wow. Now let's think about that a minute. He was rehearsing his natural resume, as it were. He was bringing up the glass mirror he looked at every morning when he got up. And he began to recite to God and go over, you know, with God some things that God probably did not know about him. Kind of like we do. Isn't that right? You know, me? You want me to do that? Oh, God, no, wait a minute. You don't understand. Yeah, like God doesn't understand. I can't do that because, and here we go, start listing all the reasons why. Now, he was trying to say he couldn't do it because he came from a poor tribe, Manasseh, poor family in the tribe, and he was the least in his family. So it just doesn't get any worse than that. I mean, come on. You're in the poorest tribe, you're in the poorest family in that tribe, and then you're the least in the family. Meaning what? If he came from a big tribe, and he came from the biggest family in the tribe, and he was the greatest one in the family that was the biggest in the tribe that was the largest, then he could go get them. Right? If he was stronger, if he was bigger, if he had more people, if he had more money, we could get it done. If I had a better upbringing, if I had more money, if I had more people behind me, if I had this, if I had this, if, but I don't. You know what God said to that? He said, you and me is enough. I'll be with you. You will defeat them as one man. You don't need two men. You don't need three men. You don't need $1 million. Hello. You don't need some great heritage. You don't have to have long degrees in academics, you know. You don't have to be the intelligentsia in the academia. You don't have to, no. You see, Gideon, you and I are going to do this. I will be with you, and you will defeat them as one man. Because one man and God is all you need.
That's right.
Well, if somebody, no. Just you and God. You can make it. Yeah, but I... No. Just you. If God says you can do it, you can do it.
Amen.
You can crawfish all you want to. Make all excuses all you want. You can rehearse your bio in the natural, as it were. You can see your ability solely limited to just natural resources and credentials and heritage. You can say you can't do this, but then you got this problem. God said you can do it.
Yeah.
Wow. Wonder who's right.
Right.
Hey, I've been here so many times. I've been at this juncture in a road so many times when God wanted me to do something, and you know, when I looked at what God asked me to do, and I thought, I can't do this. I can't do this. And God says, yes, you can do this. Hello. But see, I'm looking so much in the natural. I'm looking so much in that mirror. I'm looking so much in that. I'm rehearsing that natural bio, that biography I've got, you know, and that resume I have. And I've seen myself perform in the natural. And, you know, I don't want an encore. Take the curtain, put it down, leave it down. Don't pull it back up again. I don't want to get back on that stage, you know. But God's saying, look, it's you and me. This is you and me. We can do this.
Yeah.
Amen? And you can do this. I don't know what you're facing. It doesn't matter what you're facing. I know what God says, and God says you can do it. You need to see yourself as someone that can do it.
Yeah.
You need to quit rehearsing that natural biography, that natural resume. You need to quit thinking in terms of natural resources and credentials and heritage and start trusting God, standing on the Word, and start seeing yourself the way God sees you. You need to see yourself rise up out of the pages. Listen, if you walk away and you get this picture of Gideon, you still haven't got it yet. You've got to get a picture of you coming out of this pages here. You got to get a picture of you coming up from behind that wine press. You got to get a picture of you rising up with God on your side and overcoming that obstacle and that that wall that's in front of you and that crisis that you may be facing. You got to see you winning with God. You got to see that. And that's what God had to do first, is convince Gideon that he could do it. Same way he had to do with Abraham. Same thing he had to do with Moses. Same thing that Jabez finally got a revelation of. And God had to do the same thing with David. And the list goes on and on and on. And Jeremiah, I mean, you go through people that made huge impacts for God in the Bible. They did not start out that way.
Yeah.
And that's what's so good about the Bible, is that we see when it's all said and done, it was God empowering them and God revealing to them and God changing them and transforming them into what He saw in them and getting them to see what He saw. We don't always see in us what God sees in us. You know, I said this last week. I think it was Robert Shuler. Robert Shuler said this. He said, any man can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed.
Yeah. Wow.
See, we don't see our potential. We don't see what can come out of us, but God does.
Yeah.
He sees what's on the inside.
Wow. Who said that?
Robert Shuler said that. Any man can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. See, God, back to what I said originally here, when we talked about what's God's view, God doesn't have an opinion of you. We treat it that way. And we also treat it like, well, yeah, it's a possibility. Well, that's true. In one sense, it is a possibility. Sometimes it's an unrealized possibility. But as far as God's concerned, it's a done deal. It's a fact. It's a truth. You are who He says you are. You just don't know it. I don't know it. I've been spending my life trying to see myself the way God... I'll spend the rest of my life working on seeing myself the way God sees me.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, when we get to heaven... We'll realize how far below the things of God we lived, how far below the deeds we could have done, how far below. I don't think we'll grieve. There's no sorrow in heaven. We're going to be happy to get there, to say the least. But there's so much more we could have had, could have done, people we could have reached, because we didn't see ourselves as able. Woo! Amen? And you know something else too is who you are and what you do many times is two different things. You can be a winner and still lose. You don't lose necessarily because you're a loser. You lose because you don't know or don't believe you're a winner. Many times I lose because I didn't know I was a winner.
Amen.
I didn't know I could win, you know. Gideon was living and acting contrary to who he was. Because he was who God said he was. But he wasn't living and acting that way. And if you and I observed him and made an analysis here, you know, we would say he was a craven. You know, he was a coward. He was fearful. He had no vision, no optimism, no hope for the future. Because we would be looking at what he was doing. But see, God was looking at who he was. Who he really was, not what he was doing. But what he really was and what he could do. His ignorance kept him from his success. He was designed for success, but he was programmed to fail. Because I'm sure everybody agreed with Gideon. He could get the whole household with him on this deal. He started talking about how they couldn't make it and they're going under and they're having to hide and they go, yeah, it's bad, Gideon, it's bad. And the world will jump on that bandwagon in a heartbeat. You know, I was thinking, I read a saying the other day I thought was pretty good. You have to think about it. But we're not human beings seeking or trying to have a spiritual experience. We're actually spiritual beings having a human experience. Because really, I'm a spirit, so are you. I've been born again, you've been born again. I am a spiritual being having a human experience. But see, we got that totally reversed in our thinking. We think we're just humans trying to have a spiritual experience.
Wow.
We're just humans trying to find a spiritual experience. No, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. When we really do have a spiritual experience, that's when we're really true to who we really are. We were made for that. We were born for such a time as this. We are born again believers. We are spirits in a body. We were made to serve God. We were made to worship God. We were made to experience Him.
That's good.
That's what we were made for. But we spend our lives just having human experiences as spiritual beings. Woo! Did y'all get that? Okay, I know you got to think about that. I have to. So we get our roles reversed so often. You know, I often think about the world of the spirit. You know, I've said this often, but we got it all reversed. We think this is the real, this is the solid, you know, that chair, this is real. The spirit is mystical. Oh, really? Well, what do you think is going to last forever? This podium? These walls? You think that's going to last forever? What about you? What about you? What about this body? You think it's going to outlast the spirit in you?
No.
What do you think holds this body up? Muscles? No. Oh, the bones? No. No, not at all. In fact, when I go to heaven, when I leave this body, it's going to drop like a rock. There's going to be nothing to hold it up. Mm-hmm. So what made it real? What made it solid? What made it move?
Yes.
Me. The real me, inside here. And when you pass by that casket, you don't pass by that person. That was the body they were in. The real, solid, eternal person is in heaven. And flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. You've got to have a new body to go there because it's too real, too solid. If you step out, you step on the blades of grass in heaven, in this body, it'll cut through you like knives. If it ever rained there, the raindrops would shoot through you like bullets. Because your flesh can't handle that kind of reality. It's too real. You're going to have a glorified new body. In fact, when Jesus appeared in his, John fell on the ground and the breath left his body like he felt like a dead man because he never saw anything that real. Pow! Hit the ground. He didn't see a ghost. You know, they got all these shows about, you know, ghost hunter shows or whatever they call them. I don't know what they are. And they never see anything. You know, they just have a feeling or they have a chill or they have a shadow or something. Listen, that was not what John saw. John saw something so real, he had never in his entire life seen anything that real and that concrete and that solid, and it took the breath out of his body, and he fell to the ground. Just like Daniel did when he saw Gabriel, in Daniel 10. I tell you, when Jesus appeared in his glory, it was just too much. Moses just saw his backside in the cleft of a rock. And God says, you can't see me in my glory face to face. You can't see me and live in my glory. There's no way. He talked to him face to face, but not in his glory. Somehow God can tone himself down, thank God. Because we can't handle that kind of power. It melts the flesh right off our bones. But he says, I'll tell you what. You get in the cleft of this rock and I'll just go. You can just look at my backside. Moses looked at his backside, came off the mountain, and he couldn't even look at the people of Israel because his face shined so much just looking at the backside of God. And he had put a veil over his face to even talk to him. What's real? What's solid? Well, what is your life? It is but a vapor. That's what James said. Your body, the outward man perisheth, but the inward man is renewed day by day. We're bigger on the inside than we are on the outside. There's more to us on the inside. There's what's eternal is on the inside. And the truths of God, the revelations of God, the power of God, all that's on the inside of us. And we need to learn to live from the inside out instead of from the outside in. We just see ourselves from the outside in, but we need to begin to see ourselves from the inside out. Walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Amen? And we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh even. Okay, so how do you see yourself? How do you see God? Is God with you? What does that mean? It should mean something, amen? It should mean that there are going to be miracles, there's going to be deliverances, there's going to be moves of God in your life. You're not limited to what's going on in the natural. You're not limited to circumstance. Gideon heard the angel of the Lord say that the Lord's with him. In Gideon's mind, this is not possible, for if the Lord was with him, they should not be in bondage in other nations, and there should be miracles. The problem Gideon had was not his view of God. The problem Gideon had was his view of himself. Yeah. He did not believe that the Lord was with him. He had the right view of God. He just didn't believe God was with him. So he didn't see himself as with God. 14th verse, read again. I'll wrap this up. Is this helping you?
Yes.
14th verse. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy mount. Go in this thy might. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Go in this strength, or this truth, or this revelation on the knowledge of what God says about you and your situation. Not the knowledge of what your senses tell you, or what you see with your eyes, or what you know about the situation in the natural. But you need to move and act and live and speak and talk what God shows you about who you are and about the situation that you live in. You don't need to move and act on what you see with your eyes and feel with your hands and what you've been raised to believe, but what God says. Of course, the question is, do you know what God says? Got to figure it out, amen? Got to find out what that truth is. Man. You know, Gideon was trying to fit in where he did not belong. He was trying to fit into a low life. He was trying to fit into being a loser and a failure. He was a round peg trying to fit himself in a square hole of defeat and failure. You weren't designed that way. It doesn't fit, doesn't wear well. You weren't made that way. See, you're trying to fit into, you're trying to make yourself fit into that old man again, but that old man's dead. You're trying to convince yourself that's just the way you are, that you're wrong. You are living a lie. You're trying to convince yourself you can't make it when God says you can make it. You are a round peg in a square hole, and you are miserable because you were made to make it. You know, you're going to have battles. You're going to have struggles. I understand as long as we're on the earth, there's going to be battles. You got to go to boot camp for you, you know, go to battle. Like I said Sunday, you know, got to go to boot camp before you go to battle, and you got to plant and plow before you pick and the produce, and you got to practice before you get the prize. I understand all that, but we are more on the inside than we are on the outside. We got to change our view of us. God says He's a mighty man of valor. We're more than a mighty man of valor. This is who we are, who we could be, should be, and who we really are. Amen. We're winners. That's what God said.
Amen.
We're more than conquerors.
That's right.
Through Him that loved us, because that's what God says. Amen. We have the victory through Christ Jesus, because that's what God says.
Yes.
We always triumph in Christ, because that's what God says. And greater is He that's in us than He is in the world. Because that's what God says. And we were born of God. We are born of God. Therefore, we overcome the world. Because that's what God says. And what's the victory that overcomes the world? Even our faith. Because that's what God says. And God's not giving us an opinion. He's telling us the truth. We're just living a lie. Hey, quit living the lie and start winning.
Yes, sir.
We're in it to win it.
Yes.